John chapter 1. John's an exciting place. It's a many times people get led to the Lord through the years. I've always told them to start in John. Some people say start in Matthew, whatever, that's a good thing. We're going to kind of just read 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and to those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And verse 14 is one of my favorite. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and mercy. Talking about Jesus today, and something that's really critical about sons, you are sons and daughters of God, is that Jesus has always been the pivot, if you guys are with me. He's the thing that turns on, because it says the world was made through him. It says when he went to his own, Israel, they didn't recognize the Creator. That's actually what it's saying. And the reason I'm saying this is because a lot of times we see Jesus kind of the plan, like Adam and Eve messed up in the garden, and God thought, you know what I'm saying? I know what, I'll give birth to a son, or I'll have a son, or the son's already there and he'll redeem things. And he's kind of like a down the road. But we read that the Word, Jesus, that the worlds were created through him. So the fact that Jesus has been at the center of all creation, really, it is always. Didn't start in Matthew in the birth of Jesus. It starts in Genesis when he says, let there be light, let there be, you know, the earth, let there be water, and let there be land that separates the water. So to understand that Jesus has always been in the center of all things from day one, that has actually never changed. Now we can talk about the pre-carnate Jesus, meaning before he came to earth, and we can talk about Jesus in the with the Israel in the wilderness. But sons and daughters of God is what we are made, and I really believe God is getting us back to that in this country. I've preached on this something similar, and I had this just on my heart the last few weeks, and it's some stuff stirs in me for weeks at a time, and then it'll find its place in my hand with a pen, and or in this case, in my hand with a laptop. And I really think what's in a name is important. And I say this to encourage you, because you're a son of God. If the devil comes to you and says something adverse to that, you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are a child of God. The DNA, your makeup, your possibilities. The enemy would love you to believe you are mere mortal men. Maybe he'll even let you be forgiven, but he will not for a second stand with you being empowered. Because when we are who we are, we suddenly work with Jesus and supernatural things flow. And you know what's interesting? If I told you today whether you believe this or not, it didn't matter, God will be with you, I would be lying. Your faith is critical to how you perform. It matters. Am I telling you God doesn't have any mercy, and if you believe less of who you are in Christ than you are, that he won't, as a Savior, lovingly grab you and help you? Yes, he will. But do you understand that the Lord in your life is going to always be bringing you to the truth of what you are, to the truth of what he says, to the truth of what he asks? Jesus is never leading in a way that goes away from who you are in him, but he's always leading in a way that goes towards who you are in him. Now, I know the first thing I remember this in school was the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. I remember that was on an early kind of pop quiz. And that's a simple truth. It's not like it was deep theology. And even when I was taught that in school, I wasn't taught a lot about what that name meant, just that it was at Antioch that they called them Christians. Now, this gets right back to a simple, it's not just a moral lesson, it's a lesson of God's power. Why do I take issue sometimes with the name? Because nowadays, you know, Jim or Armand, if I say I'm a Christian, you say you're a Christian, it means we've prayed a prayer of faith. It means we identify with the Christian faith. It means that we've said a prayer sometime, beginning or end. But back in Antioch, the name was given as a nickname to describe what the people were watching. And when they watched the believers, they acted like Jesus. They performed like Jesus. They did the things Jesus did. So they called them Christians. Now, a lot of people say, what does it matter? Language always evolves, things always change. And that's true. But the name was an amazing honor to have, but it was based on living and not on declaration. It was based on lifestyle and not simply on a set of beliefs. It was based on this organic thing called the church. And when you saw Christians, now here's the interesting thing. At Antioch, when the believers are called Christians, you've got to understand this, that a lot of the people calling them Christians walk the earth when Jesus walked the earth. Now, we can talk about how Armand reminds me of the Jesus I read about that's been resurrected for 2,000 years, and that's good, actually. But this nickname came from people that actually watched the Messiah walk around on the earth, do the works he did, be the man he was, display the character that he had, and that's the kind of comparison that they were called Christians, which means little Christ. The reason it's critical, I like the nickname Christian, but I like it as to what it means originally, and I like it as to how it was given originally. Nowadays, I go to a doctor's office, and they go through the whole list and the insurance, and then they say faith or, you know, religious background, I say Christian. And obviously, that nowadays it's just a category. Nowadays it's just something you'd use to describe people who ascribe to Jesus Christ. But I would love to be known as a Christian because I remind people of Jesus, most importantly. Because it means little Christ, and no matter what language it does, that meaning is important because it also reveals a supernatural thing that has happened to us. Enough of the shortcoming of what we were meant to be. You know what's interesting? I could sit here and preach about that name and get into stuff with you. You could be encouraged or you could be discouraged where you go, wow. My life, nobody would know I was a Christian based on that. I want to go back to the medical form and filling out the religious affiliation I have. That's a little easier to be called a Christian. But actually, this is not discouraging. What I'm telling you is really because if you're a believer and you've come to Christ and you're walking around right now, you've really been made this little Christ. Now, do you believe it? Do you live it out? Is the empowerment of God upon you? And are you letting it flow? I can't answer that. We can answer that. But the possibilities, it's really more about possibilities. I want to encourage you as children of God. And you're saying, I'm sons and daughters of God. We're children of God. Not only have I been given the right by the blood and the regeneration, this is who I am. This is what matters. This is where God is leading all things. It's funny because you know the minute you were forgiven and washed in that blood, the journey were you on, obviously, this is 101, you were becoming more like Jesus. That's the journey. It wasn't necessarily about one thing you said the right way, but it was about who you were. Now, I like the Christian term as originally. I like believers, sons and daughters of God, children of God, as John says, children of God, DNA of God, offspring of God. I would love to see a return to the meaning because I want people to look at me And not just what I say, but I want to walk as Jesus walks. Now, here's the trick with this, too. If I walk like Jesus walks through me. There's another part to this because, again, I want the Christian to go home and say, I'm a son and daughter of God. I'm a child of God. It's in my DNA. I should expect amazing things from myself. I should believe that God wants to use me. I want to believe that I can affect a city too. I want to believe that I can go to the edge of a city and the demoniacs will come up because even me coming to the city means Jesus is in the house. It bothers the environment. It bothers the darkness. It bothers the sin and it creates a revolution. Let me explain something. Many of the truths you believe or don't believe will be tried and tested. Doubt will come in. You will say, you know, I haven't had a demoniac come up to me in the edge of Matson or the edge of Park Forest. Name the town. Manteno, Kankakee, doesn't matter, Moni. Therefore, because so far I haven't stirred the pot, therefore, because the devil hasn't reacted to me in a very hard way, really doesn't worry about which city I'm in, therefore, I think that might be theoretically true that I'm a son of God or a daughter of God, but therefore, because I saw this result this time or that time, I choose to believe less of what it really says about me. Where reality hits our faith is all the time. Where testing of what you're made of and the devil trying to say you're less than will always be. We'll never get rid of that. God means it to be an affirmation time and time and time again. Then there's hopelessness. We lose hopelessness. We go, you know, I haven't seen that, what you're talking about. I haven't seen it. I've been saved 10 years. So maybe you're right in one way or the other, but not for me you're right. You're not right. Not in my life. Not in who I am. Not in what I've lived so far. And the one thing that I really believe with the truth of God and John, the gospel according to John, is that I don't care what stage you hook up with these realities. And I don't care if 10 years has been a failure, because I guess 11 will be good. And I don't care if you say, you know what? I read a lot of things in the Bible that don't translate about my Christianity. I read a lot of things. And right now they look mythish because I keep walking around and this just doesn't seem to match with this. Well, let every man be found a liar. Let God be found true. Let the things that God says about me be the things that I hold to and believe. And I'm not shaken from them. If I go into a town and the devils don't care, the people don't care, no one cares. I just think Jesus stirs up the pot. I believe Jesus stirs up the pot. I actually believe Jesus aggravates too, absolutely. I believe Jesus is an inconvenience. I believe he's a joy to some. I believe he's an absolute terror to others, and I don't mean terrorist terror, because where Jesus came, light came. And then that's why the demons, I remember first time reading as a believer in the 70s that a demoniac came up and said, what do we have to do with you, son of God? He's just coming in a town. It's not like he did anything. But the demons knew what the Son of God would do. They weren't guessing. They knew where he walked around, their work would be hindered. They knew where he walked, he would enact, he would act, he would commit things and make things happen that were absolutely devastating to darkness. That's a Son of God. You know, someone once told me, what you don't believe, you'll never live. What you don't believe, you'll never push. What you don't believe, you'll never set a line there. And I think the devil works really hard on the area of failure. I know he does. He does in my life. He has in your life. And he kind of says, you know what? That's all really good and dandy. Good for you. But you know who you are. You know who you are when the door shut. You know who you are when nobody was looking. He'll say this to Christians. I didn't say false Christians. He'll say this to Christians. You see your track record. And my thing is, if I have a track record, I mean, when does that change? When does revolution start? When do I course correct? Can I not? Is it too late? Is it like the movie with the curse that you need, you know, certain, you know, magical elements to make go away? Or can we just turn it and we can just say, you know what? This world is darker. Do you understand, too, that what's going around you right now, the world, everything, the terrorists, the sin, the darkness, the gay agenda, all this stuff, do you understand it's calling out for a Son of God? Do you understand that? Instead of going, oh, this world's horrible, and oh, this world, it just gets me down. Instead, it's actually, it's buffeting you in a way. It's striking your spirit and hitting you. It's taunting you. But the reality is, all it's really doing is calling for a son of God, which luckily we have many in the house today. Do you know I've dealt with demoniacs, demonically possessed people? I've seen things that I don't think somebody should see. I've seen people do things humanly that were so bizarre and impossible humanly that you just can't explain it. I had somebody tell me, I don't even believe in the devil. I said, I've actually seen him, so good for you. Keep telling yourself that. But it's then you realize the Son of God wants to rise in you, wants to be Jesus in this earth. And actually, more importantly, the Son of God is what he's made you. He's made you like himself. And he wants you to create a problem. Most of the time, though, I believe Christians get a taste of the Son of God manifest in their life. And I actually believe, beyond their salvation, that it's unpleasant. Because there can be, things can happen. Have you ever witnessed somewhere and it all fall apart? You were cool until you said you were a Christian? Have you ever laid the biblical principle down and until that moment we were singing Kumbaya, having a Coke, holding hands, it was all good? And yet the manifestation of Jesus in those situations can be really kind of sticky. I think a lot of Christians, a lot of sons of God, I think they start on that journey and then things start happening. And I remember I just had been saved and I went to talk to somebody about Jesus, and they literally kind of knew where I was going and said, I don't want to hear that. No offense. I'm not interested at all. And I was reading Acts, and that kind of motivates you, and I'm kind of, you know, going to change the world. And I'll never forget even the minute that happened, that it just really went, do you believe this? Because that person, this isn't Acts. That person certainly didn't get touched, and they weren't even interested. A lot of stuff happens, and it challenges our Christianity because it challenges who we are. At least it tries to make us think differently about who we are versus who we are. Not born of the flesh. You know, I have a problem with the term, you're only human, and here's why. I am human, but I'm so much more. I am human. I have blood, flesh, and I'm a mortal man. I was born in 1961 in July. Absolutely, just like any mortal person. I didn't pre-exist. I'm eternal in my nature, like my Father made me. I will go on forever, but I had a beginning. But I get very problematic, and more of what I have seen in a decade is, yeah, you know what? You gave it a shot, and hey, what are you going to do? You're just a guy. Yeah, you could overcome that, but hey, who is? And the problem I have with being a mere mortal is that it comes short of who I am, of who you are, of what we can do. Imagine if you fought a fight that you believe there's no true way you could consistently win. Would you win that fight? Imagine if you had to face a life that required a son or daughter of God, and yet you just kind of thought you were kind of that, but not really. And somebody kind of passed it early on. They kind of said, you really can't do that. No one can do that. Well, you wouldn't fight for it. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it of yourself. The worst part, too, when others were demonstrating it, you would be blind to seeing Jesus in them. You would be blind to seeing their victories, because many times we go upon our own success and failures. Many times, if you take a corrupt person looks at everybody and everyone's corrupt. Have you ever noticed that? Someone that comes short and has a shortage views everyone is not any better than themselves. And this is where this is kind of bad. Sometimes we're trying to convince the fallen that there's a way to rise. And the fact is, we need to know these things that we're doing. We're not born of blood or of flesh, it says, or the will of man even. Isn't this interesting? In fact, when you were witnessed to and you got saved, you got to understand God had led the person. So you really weren't born like in a church with its agenda. You were born again by Jesus. Getting a birthright is funny. And the thing that bums me out if I talk about birthrights, the minute I say those two words, I get turned off because I've heard it used horribly. You know, you're a son of God and all the money in the world is yours. And I've heard all kinds of garbage. So when you hear like birthright, or it's your birthright. There was a birthright. I called it the birthright movement. I don't know what it was called. And it mostly concentrated. It's interesting. because my birthright is that I'm a son of God, Jim's a son of God, Melissa's a daughter of God, Esther's a daughter of God. Our birthright is to be like Jesus. But what if I have a teaching that says my birthright makes me rich, strictly? Or my birthright gives me some kind of emotional advantage as I deal in this world alone. This isn't rocket science today, but it is definitely theology and it's definitely the Bible. The difference of the people I read, how many of you have ever read about Hudson Taylor? Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. Now, I've met people in China, especially Hudson's been dead for, well, I don't know how long, many decades, a century? I forgot the dates, but he's been dead a long time. And yet he affected a great deal of things. When I'm in Cambodia and Vietnam and Thailand, his name is really well known. I meet people that because of Hudson Taylor said their parents' parents' parents, however, were touched by his ministry. I meet people in Cambodia that they're talking about a guy, the Burkettes, that were there in the late 60s, early 70s that revolutionized the country. And I look at a guy that can go to a country that does not speak his language. And that's really different. Are you with me on this? He wasn't only human because God was with him and he was a child of God. He hits China and China reacts in the way that countries did to Jesus. And he turns it upside down. Not because Hudson Taylor was impressive. In fact, some of these people, I'll bet you if you met him, you'd go, kind of so-so. Reinhard Bonnke has went to Africa, led millions to the Lord. I forgot how many millions, Pastor Jay, but I think it's in the tens of millions. That's pretty good, 70 million. And you start hearing about that, and you in your mind you go, well, yeah, he's really anointed. But the biggest problem with all of that thinking is that's just simply not true. Yes, Reinhard Bonnke, God's used him. But the fact is he's a child of God. Jesus went into Africa through Reinhard, and he stood there in a meeting he said nobody came to. He told his wife, I'm going to cash it in. He did. He said, I'm going to cash it in. First time I preached, I came home. My wife said, how did it go? I said, I'm never preaching again. I'm not preaching again, ever. I said, whatever, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, whatever thoughts I had about being Jesus in this earth, that kind of ended. Especially when that one woman like went like this and she went to the bathroom. That was rough. I had it in my mind how it was going to be. And then I think about Elizabeth Elliot. I don't know if you've ever read The Gates of Splendor. Anybody ever read The Gates of Splendor? I highly recommend it. Her husband, Jim Elliot, with two other guys by airplane into the, I think it's in the Amazon. Am I right or am I wrong? And they were martyred really quick. They just were hitting an area, trying to give the natives some food, trying to make a connection, trying to witness for Jesus. The Akan Indians have 100%. The homicide rate was actually 98%. They kill each other all the time. Their law structure, there was no law. Remember you heard the term rule of the jungle? That was their law structure. So they go out there. She's waiting at like the station because in those days, that jungle was not tame. Like even when I went in Vietnam jungle, I'm going into places that have been tamed by missionaries decades before me. So they got killed, all three of them. They were killed. They were brutally murdered. Vince, a saint, I forgot all the names, but Jim Elliott's the main one because his wife is the one. Now, they kill them. They find two of them. One of the bodies they can't find. They actually bury them in the jungle, I do believe. I forgot how that all worked. And the wives went stateside. Could you imagine if your husband took you to the Amazon and you were excited about you're going to reach some natives. And then he's martyred not even a year in fact, much shorter than that. He's speared. They're pretty brutally killed. This didn't feel good. This wasn't a gunfight. They were killed by natives with spears. Out of the three, two of the wives go home. They go stateside. And they were hard. It was hard. I understand that. I get that. Elizabeth Elliot, and sometimes when I read this, it didn't offend me, but you just read it and you go, may I never be this person. Elizabeth Elliot goes back out to the same jungle to the tribes that killed her husband, and she ministers the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the tribes are turned around. There's a revival in the jungle. See, my hair stands on if you say, God, Mike, I'm going to send you to the people that murdered your wife. And you're going to love them. And they don't have Jesus. They don't know Jesus. So they're savages. And in this way, it was really true. And you're going to go to that tribe and you're going to live with them. Call me stupid. That does not appeal to me. I'd rather do 1,000 other things if God would send me. Now, a lot of you saw the story Beyond the Spear. I think me and Pastor Jay showed it. And the interesting thing is, am I right, Pastor Jay, that one of the guys who was at the killing party became almost like a grandfather to the grandson of Jim Elliot? Like a grandfather, like his bud. They also revealed, and again, you don't know all these things, and they revealed that that grandfather that was actually the killing party that killed Jim Elliot and the other two missionaries, they revealed, they saw, like, the eternal open up, right? There was they saw those guys walk into glory. The natives I'm talking about. What would we do with such a thing? And I look and I go, that's a son of God. That's a daughter of God. I want to do that. I want to quit saying there's no way. I want to quit saying I can't, Hudson Taylor, Reinhardt, I can't, you know, all these things we say. Those are powerful people. And then sometimes when people do that, I want to go, you're getting very Catholic. Because I was a Catholic. No, some of you weren't. Anybody was Catholic at all? And you remember how it is with the saints, the priests even. They're better. They're different. They're not like you humans. The Pope's Christ on earth. You know, it takes a lot to get, I call it the Catholic expression, even when I was a little boy. Of course, as a little boy and a Catholic, I was beat more in the back hallway than I was listening to Mass because I couldn't sit still for 30 seconds. So, but I look at some of this stuff and I think a daughter of God, Elizabeth Elliot. I heard her teach multiple times on the radio. She's been on the radio. And I just think, how do you do this stuff? But here is the beauty of it. And this is why I'm telling you, it's a simple sermon today. I don't have a lot of depth for you, but I've got a depth of who you are, what you're becoming, and how God wants to use you. But I believe the doors today, it's tomorrow, it's the next day. I think we're hitting a time where the nation is tumultuous. Are you with me, guys? I think we're hitting a time to where the proving of the sons and daughters of God is coming here. I don't mean this room. I mean the sons and daughters of God in the earth. I believe we're hitting a time where it's going to come. Now, a lot of us in America have become very human. That's all we are. We're humans. We're humans that are forgiven. We're not born again. We're humans that are forgiven. In fact, when the message simply becomes forgiveness without transformation, you have a fundamental problem in the whole mindset of the Christian. Would you be falsely talking if you got into a jam and said, wait a minute, we're children of God? Not in conduct, in power, in all of it. And said, this is this impossibility. I want to do this ministry, but wait a minute. I'm not just a mere man or woman. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a son of God. I want to do this. Do you see yourself as different than the men you read about in the Bible? When Pastor Jay went over the martyrdom of Stephen, and that's a long martyrdom, because if you read all the verses, it's his first sermon and it's his last sermon. But he does it so well, doesn't he? I say, you know what's interesting? I remember another test, and there was a question about Stephen. And I remember the first time I read it, I said, you know, when Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, I kind of thought the guys did know what they were doing when they were stoning them. But he says what Jesus says. And a lot of people just go, that's a lot of mercy. But that's not really what it is. The fact is, Stephen was a son of God. He was a child of God. He had been rebirthed in his spirit. Like Pastor Jay had said Wednesday, stoning isn't fun. I mean, a shooting would be all right, you know. Hey, we were judging you religiously, and they all pull out their guns because it's quick and it's easy. Well, it's not easy, but it's quick. Do we see these things, and where is your head today, guys? What do you see yourself possible of? What if you went out into the world, your work, your office, your whatever, you went out and you said, I'm a son or daughter of God. I've been born again, not of a corruptible seed. I can be like Jesus. He showed me a life that I can live, not some faraway example. So he showed me that when I go places, he's going with me, that he's going to affect the fiber of all that I am. What would happen? How would you live? What would you think? Have you ever been scared because you did something for Jesus and you were threatened? Well, don't be. One thought I got, Psalm 82, and I want to read it to you. Psalm 82, verse 1. I'll wait for you. Now, this term, sons and daughters of God, didn't start at the cross. It actually started with Israel. I don't know if you know that. Children of God, that didn't start at the cross. That actually started with Israel. It's not a new term. It's an older term. In fact, sons of God is an old term used in the Old Testament, used in the Psalm, spoken of God's kids. And in these days, it was Israel. Psalm 82, verse 1. Psalm 82, verse 1. It's a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 82, chapter 82, verse 1. It says, God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. And there's a statement that always caught me. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Now, in almost coming to a place where we're coming to this end, you know, it's interesting how we are sons and daughters of God. And I want to ask you something. Have you ever seen, like, ministers get raised up and they're mighty, and then something happens, and they're caught up in the garbage of the world, and you go, wow, that was a real man of God, and now he's just like anybody else? Here's what I want to say to this. As sons and daughters of God, as children of God today with tremendous potential, never die like men. Don't cut yourself short. Don't die like a common man. Don't make yourself a mere mortal to where you don't believe you can get stuff done, to where you just quit, where you don't try, where you just kind of push ahead and say, whatever. I've seen this verse alive for years. I've seen men with phenomenal potential not only die, they died well short of what God had made them. That breaks my heart. I mean, they died. I don't mean they moved. I mean, they died. They're no longer breathing in this earth. And they were amazing people. But by the time they breathed their last, they were a shell of what they had once been. And they were dead. By the time they passed, they weren't a mighty man of God. They were less than that. They were caught up in the sin and the filth of the world they live in. And they had went from this to dying like men. See, you can die like a saint, then you can die just like a common man. Because you can live a life of a saint or a son of God or a daughter of God, or you can live a life of a common man. Romans 8:15, you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You know one of the most beautiful things when you say Father God when you're in trouble, when you're hurting, and you say Father, it's a proof. Do you understand this? You might go, no, I just, because somebody told me he's my father now. That instinct to say Father God, I'm in trouble. Father God, lead me. Father God, fill me. Father God, protect me. Father God, change me. There is a DNA expression going on there because of who you are. I can tell you, my kids called me dad, but they didn't call another guy dad because nobody else was. You guys, this is what I'm trying to get through you. God has actually, through his spirit, made you what you are today. He wants to use you. And in fact, don't ever buy into the thing that I'm not like this person. What is that? I'm not like a lot of people. Do you know what somebody said, and it was a family member, when I got into ministry? They said, Mike couldn't lead a group of school children if he had to across the street. And that same glorious person said, Mike couldn't lead a bag of fleas out of a wet paper bag. Okay, there we go. That's fine. But that's the point, you know. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different places. We all come from different bondages. We got delivered out of. We all come from different sins, pains, everything. But the important part today is to understand who and what we are. And I'll be honest with you. If you tell me that my Christianity starts and ends, that I'm just forgiven, and you leave out the Son of God and the daughter of God and the empowerment of Christ, boy, I'm not going to get a lot done because I'm walking about in a state of forgiveness, not knowing who I am. Think about that. Your past no longer matters, but your future does matter, and it will be different. We're desperate right now. There is a fight going on in American Christianity to where many people see Christians simply as those that are forgiven. It starts there, and it ends there, and there's no more to it. Where many people see Christianity is, you know, 15 foundational beliefs out of the scripture you can intellectually name, even if they don't affect any part of your life. I really believe there's a battle for the soul of the nation of God's people in this country. When I go to Asia, it's rough, and people kind of know, you know what I mean. There's not a lot of battle because they don't have a lot of toys. They don't have a lot of things to get lost in. They have malls, but the funny thing about any mall in Cambodia is it's for the tourists because the common people are no way shopping there because the prices are ridiculous. Heck, they're ridiculous for me, and I'm from America. And I think this is what's critical, to start crying out as a son and daughter of God and just start saying, God, I want to affect things. I want to be different. I want to change things. And I believe that you've empowered me to do that. And it's not about my personality. I don't care if you're a go-get-it person or a not go-get-it person. But I actually believe if the church stands up in this nation, let's be honest. You know, I look at even common things. The last election, 42 million Christians stayed home. That's pretty heavy. Do you understand the voting block, how that works? David, I know we've talked this. I mean, you give me 42 million votes, I got it. I'm taking every gosh darn election in the next 20 years. It's so weird, and that's more on a practical end, but just where Christians just don't have a voice. Do you know what I actually believe? And this is gonna, you can take this or leave it, say I'm wrong, say I'm right. I actually believe that we can change things, but I believe that Christians like that, they just kind of sit home. They can do something. In fact, I want to tell you something. If you're going through a trial and you're frozen, like, I'm going through this trial, I can't do anything, what a horrible thing. You know, I'm going through all this, and I can't possibly witness today. Why? Why? God might want to use you to cast out a demon. God might want to use you to heal a sick. God might want to use you to share the cross with somebody. Why do we get caught up in our own minutiae so much? We're like, I'm too busy. I remember I got to a point where Jehovah's Witness would approach me, and I just got, like, just aggravated where I'm like, I'm not doing this again. I don't want to argue. You can't get to them. And then that spread to this, and that spread to this, where I was going out my front door doing absolutely very little. I'm too busy. I'm this. I got this. I'm doing this. Imagine to be so busy doing the work of God that you can't do the work of God. That's technically what I'm saying. I'm so busy in God's kingdom that I can't do the work of God's kingdom. It's kind of it's not an oxymoron. It's contradiction of terms. You know, when we started the Acts series, Pastor Jay had brought up an idea, not as a program, but testimonies. And I want to see that reignited, not to make the series better. Acts is Acts. That's a church. But, you know, can you pray for somebody? Can you speak to somebody? Can you work in the power of God's Spirit? That's pretty cool. And every time he gets up there, Wednesday when he's teaching, he says, anybody got any testimonies? And this isn't like religious or blah, blah, blah. This is expecting that God's using you guys, any of you guys, all of you guys. And it doesn't have to be fancy. I'm not worried whether you pizzazzed or wowed me. It's not a wow factor, bro. I think that's exciting. I want you to think. I want you to look. I want you to believe. I want you to trust today. Let's go to it, guys. Let's say, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? As far as I'm concerned, the earth is your pearl, your oyster. But start believing you can change it. And I thank God that he said he picked the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The minute I read the verse, I'm going to be honest with you, I knew, Jim, there was not only hope. The minute I saw that, I felt validated. Now, Tommy used to say, I know God's picked the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, but I can't even get you, Mike. But the point to be told, the truth be told. Wow, what an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. Moses said he stuttered. He didn't even want to go, and God sent him. So many weird things. God's used so many amazing people. Here's the problem. Every giant you read about in the Bible, and I gave you some history of the church, in every church, there is that person sitting there, somebody right now in this room, is called to affect the nations, to change things. Now, it doesn't look real elaborate here, but that's not the point, because this is a room. Somebody here, another person here, there are people that will shine a light in a way that will stagger the devil. Because the very nature of the history of the church is it's always been everyday people coming from everyday lives doing amazing feats. Now, we're going to stand and pray, and I'm going to add one thing to this today. Some of you, we get trials too. And you go, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with it. I understand that. I do. And that's fine. But the devil wants you to be so consumed in whatever it is you're dealing with. He wants you to really kind of say, I just can't do this or this. I can't do this or this. I can't. I'm not capable. Father, as we go today, it's a simple message. We are believers. We are Christians. I want that name to mean what it means. We sell ourselves short all the time, like we can't do great divine works and overtake a nation. We sell ourselves short that we're just mere men and women. But Lord, I have known. I worship with some amazing people. I always have. I worship, and I have seen from the people in this room exploits of God that has inspired me as a person, as a believer. Father, there's a lot to look around at, but I pray that word, Christian, it's exciting. It's not supposed to discourage us to say that, well, my life is looking a little bad right now, and they wouldn't call me a Christian because of my lifestyle. Father, to me, if that's my case, then you want to change. You want to move in me. You want to alter. You want to train me. You want to manifest through me. Father, I can't think of a better time to start than today. I can't see a better time to start than today. So I just, as we're going here in this room right now, I pray a blessing. Father, we get stuck where the people get into stuff for years and it'd be like, I can never alter or change the name of this. I can never, that's nonsense, God. Or something, and I'm waiting on this. Father, you are a changer. You are a radical changer. Lord, I came out of a pretty broken background, and did you give me normalcy? Yes, you did. I came out of bondage. Did you free me? Yes, you did. I thank you, God, that sometimes we're the beginning of a new life. Sometimes we're a new generation that's going to change the game. Father, let the American Christian be that one who is born from heaven. Let the American Christian see once again how special that name is. Let the American Christian not sell themselves short. I pray for solution to the problems. I pray for solutions to everything. Because if they don't come from you, Lord, where will we find freedom? If they don't come from you, then what the heck are we, how are we going to get anywhere? But I know this to be true. You are a good God. I pray healing today, and I pray power today. And help me, Lord. It's Sunday. I don't have a ton of plans. I usually, you know, it's kind of a slower day in the afternoon. But for all of us, we're going to be with friends. We're going to be with family. We're going to possibly go to a store. Who knows? Use us, God. Let us get encouraged by the successes. Let us start chaining them together, Father. Let us see the Son of God made manifest in this world. Lord, I know that we're very earthy in the American church. We think more naturally, but the fact is we're not earthy at all. We've been born by you. So that makes us heaven sent. That means we're a gift to the world we live in. I pray for those that are distressed, because distress it's not a fun emotion. But are you the one that brings healing and peace? And you are. And that's, again, these are the areas we really got to grab a hold of you today. May we be called in the name of Christ, that name above all names, and may we glory, even in the nickname Christian. That's what it really was. It was a nickname. You really didn't give the word Christian to describe the believer, but the world did give the name Christian to describe what they were looking at. That's pretty exciting. So I pray your blessing today upon everyone as we go. Absolutely. We dismiss in the power of that name that has made us whole. And we thank you for everything this morning in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Rejoice. We will see you, I think, Acts Wednesday.